This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael. I've asked you a lot about J.K. Dobbins. Buy or sell, Broncos center Luke Wattenberg will play on Sunday. He has been designated to return. He was activated or eligible 22 hours ago, and he's there now practicing, kind of. Eligible to be active to Denver's 53-man roster at any point. Will he start on Sunday for Denver?
I'm going to buy it. Go Docs.
I'm going to buy it, too. I'm going to buy the J.K. Dobbins place. We did that yesterday, but I'm going to buy it. Both guys are looking at this going, this is our chance. Let's lock it up. Let's put our best guys out there. And let's go get to the Super Bowl.
Let's all get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, all hands on deck. Let's get to the Super Bowl. We all got your back, Jared Stidham.
1, 2, 3, Broncos.
Just we all got your back. Yeah. They're going to be amazing for Jared. You ever see the movie For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner? When John C. Reilly goes up to him and Costner kind of looks around. His arm's starting to run out. And he's like, has there really been nobody on base tonight? And John C. Reilly says, man.
Did you play just, with my drum set?
You just keep throwing. Let me finish my thought. You just keep throwing. You ruined a beautiful moment. Reset. Recenter. John C. Reilly approaches Kevin Costner on the mound and says, dude, you just keep throwing. We're going to be great for you tonight. We are going to be historic for you tonight, man. You just keep throwing. Your brother's got you. And that's what J.K. Dobbins, and that's what Luke Wattenberg, and that's what Cortland Sutton, and that's what all these dudes are going to be saying. Garrett Bowles to Jared Stidham. Hey, man, you just stay upright, bro. You just keep slinging it. We're going to be great for you tonight. Or today. And that's what's going to have to happen. Everybody around him is going to have to step up and help Jared Stidham in this process. Buy or sell. Jared Stidham will play so well in the next two games, hint, hint, that we're going to have a different conversation in the offseason about the starting quarterback. We're at least having the conversation, and you're not going to get killed for it.
I think there's going to be some conversation had.
Like, what if this offense just moves? What if first quarter they just move against a Patriots defense that is number 3 in total yards, number 4 against the pass, but this offense just moves and you put up 14 in the first quarter. And then a lot of that kind of follows. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's not likely that that's going to happen, but what if it does? That's what Sports Talk Radio is. We play a lot of what if games here, and I just think that the what if here is fascinating.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns are on the line. They're looking to make a trade. That's what'll happen.
If he's that good, are you trading him?
I mean, if he's that good and you can get a good enough draft pick, yeah.
What kind of, like, let's say he plays the best he could possibly play. What kind of draft pick are we talking?
I mean, if it's Cleveland Browns, they'll trade the entire franchise.
You're not getting a first-round pick for him. You're not getting a second-round pick for him.
If it's the Cleveland Browns, they will
be
do
realistic.
Anything. They're stupid.
You're not getting any of those. Third round?
Third round realistic is realistic if he plays really well.
Jared
and you have
Stidham
a desperate team.
For Myles Garrett straight up.
No.
What?
Well, the Browns.
If they
the
called
Browns
you and
would.
Did that, you wouldn't do that? No, I'm obviously.
Browns would do something stupid like that because they are the Browns.
They wouldn't.
There's a reason
they
why
wouldn't.
I say from time to time how
so you're
Cleveland
not buying,
Browns have
you're not buying this scenario because you're saying he's going to play so well that he will be trade bait. He will be a guy you could trade for pretty significant asset for a backup quarterback.
I think worst case scenario, you could get a fifth rounder. Best case, you could get a third rounder. But Cleveland Browns, you can get the their first round draft pick.
But in, no. Stop.
And their firstborn child.
No, stop. This is, you're being stupid. But in your brain, there's no scenario where Jarrett Stidham plays so well after the Super Bowl, a week or two later, we're not saying, is it a foregone conclusion that Bo Nix is the starting quarterback? Now, I know that that seems unlikely, but if you do the unthinkable here, it's going to be tough to beat the Patriots anyway. But you do it with Jarrett Stidham, and he plays well, and then does it in the Super Bowl. Are we? You're not entertaining that. You're saying, no, he only plays well enough so the Broncos can trade him and get a pretty good asset.
He'd play well enough to where there would have to be an offseason competition, and I'm saying there's 400 yards passing, and Cortland Sutton's like suddenly hanging out with him at a bar, and he's, you know.
Where are you going?
He's suddenly everybody's buddy, and he's throwing 400 yards, and he's just like lacing dimes down the field, right in Cortland Sutton's hand.
I'm not sure
four
what you're
touchdowns.
Saying. What are you saying?
I'm saying if that were to happen,
yeah, okay.
But that were to happen, you'd have an off-season competition.
Why are they sitting at a bar? How are they getting to a bar? Why is Cortland Sutton in a bar with Jarrett Stidham and they're talking about 400 yards?
Because suddenly they've, like, he's so good, he's become everybody's friend. He's so good that everybody wants to be his
what
friend.
What are we talking about here? This is a weird thing that you set up, man.
It would have to be that scenario. He'd have to be that
in
good.
This scenario,
just for there to be an
in this scenario
an off-season competition.
Jarrett Stidham and Cortland Sutton sitting at a bar. And they become best friends. I'm just trying to track. I'm trying to track where you're headed with me here. Like, it's a simple question. If he lights it up, will there be a discussion about who should be the starting quarterback next year?
There would not be a discussion of who should be the starting quarterback. The discussion would be, yes, it would be a discussion of who would be the starting quarterback and, well, definitely amongst the media. With the team, he'd have to play so well.
He'd have to be perfect.
You wouldn't give him the starting position. You'd say to Bo, okay, competition
on. You're not going to Wally Pip him. You know, you're not going to do that. He'd have to be perfect because Sean Payton is not going to go. He handpicked Jarrett Stidham to come here, but that's not Sean Payton's guy. Bo Nix is Sean Payton's guy. That is his project. That is his maybe final, maybe more than maybe, likely his final big project as an NFL head coach. He is. You are going to have to see Jarrett Stidham perfection type performance. And odds are we're not going to see that even if they beat the Patriots and even if they win the Super Bowl.
I mean, for him to be starting quarterback, he would have to open up portals. Like two.
What are you doing?
The ether.
What are you doing?
Like, he'd have to create magic.
What? You're sitting in the bar with Cortland Sutton, and now we're Stranger Things, man. What? Doctor Strange or whatever. What are we doing here?
I'm just saying, for this to happen, the impossible would have to happen for Bo Nix to lose his job. The closest that could happen is there would be a competition.
Short story long by you. No, you're selling it. You're selling it.
Yeah, I'm making money off of this thing.
The Chiefs are signing, it sounds like, bringing back Eric Bieniemy, who was the Bears running backs coach last time out. Buy or sell, that will get the Chiefs offense cooking again. But you're just saying that because you hate the Chiefs.
That might be.
Your job is to evaluate teams that might present a problem to the Broncos in the future. And your job is to go, will Eric Bieniemy help? Because let's face it, Kansas City hasn't been as strong of an offense without him, and Eric Bieniemy hasn't been as strong as an offensive-minded guy without the Chiefs. Getting them back together, is that going to provide the boost that the Chiefs need to get back to where they were, or close to where they were a couple of years ago?
I mean, if it worked before and it's not working now, I would hire him.
Oh, yeah, I'm buying that. I think it's going to certainly help. Travis, the new guy, Maybe Michael can go play for the Broncos. He could be the quarterback. He could ride a scooter down to the stadium and carry the team on his back. See, look what happens when you get random and you throw random crap out there. The hooligans are conditioned to go with the flow of the show. So when you start throwing out stupid things, the hooligans just have no choice but to go there with you. That is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Demerit Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. That's your fault. I spent years trying to create a smarter caliber of listener.
Are you calling the hooligans stupid?
No, I'm calling the hooligans extremely smart. But you bring them down to your level. And then they go, you know what? Let's screw around. Let's not
down to my level or up.
Let's not take Sunday's game seriously. Let's throw out random stuff. Like, hey, I'm sitting at a bar with Cortland Sutton. Like, first off, you wouldn't be allowed to sit at a bar with Cortland Sutton. That just wouldn't happen. Travis, the new guy, he makes it easy. See? You open up your portal would need to open up. Why'd you go there? What in your brain made you go there?
Like
you
could
had
throw
to drop a
so
Star Trek
hard,
reference.
He would throw through space and time into Cortland Sutton.
Four touchdowns against the Patriots in 300 yards. No picks. No picks. Four touchdowns, 300 yards. On Monday, are we coming into the station saying, Jarrett Stidham? Where did
on
that
Monday,
come from?
We're coming into the station and we're going, hey, played his butt off.
He was
maybe
near perfect.
They weren't ready for him. We'll see what the Seahawks do.
And then Super Sunday comes around against the Seattle Seahawks. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I'm not sure that's where I'm going. But just food for thought. And it's three touchdowns, 295, no picks. Broncos win their fourth Super Bowl the following Monday. Maybe not the following Monday because it's just jubilation. The Tuesday after is, are we ready to say that Jarrett Stidham should be the guy instead of Bo?
Well, what would happen then is the media would ask Sean Payton questions.
And he would
say Sean
no.
Payton would be like, shut up, media.
Yeah.
Don't make me
He's
give
not,
you a swirly. You
the
should be locked in
is,
a locker, you nerd.
The answer is no. Jarrett Stidham could be perfect. They could win the Super Bowl. And the answer will still be no. Sean is, and this is probably a positive thing, Sean's got his guy. He believes in his guy. He's loyal to his guy. And Bo, the same to Sean. So the selling all that one, and not because it's the right move necessarily, but because of the dynamics of your head coach. That question will not come to him after the Super Bowl, mind you. That question will start as soon as they show up for OTAs. That will be the first question. That will be one of the first questions. Assuming Bo Nix is actually practicing during OTAs. Yes, Michael.
I swear, if the Cleveland Browns come knocking,
what?
And they
You're obsessed with the Browns.
No, because they make stupid decisions.
They're not going to trade for a quarterback. Deshaun Watson will be back next year. They've got him for better or worse. They're not trading anything for a legitimate quarterback. Deshaun
Watson get hurt again.
Will
you
be their
that.
Guy. You're obsessed with the Browns. I don't understand it. It's weird. You've brought them up 13 times in the last 15 minutes.
They make stupid decisions, so I like to pick on them.
First Advantage
if
text
they come
line,
back,
888-530-0043. Just stop.
If they come back and offer a first-round draft pick.
They're not offering a first-round draft pick.
I kind of hope they do.
They're not.
I hope they do.
So I am vindicated. Oh my gosh.
You and the egg that will be on your face.
No. Oh. I know we like to just, they are a bad organization. They're not that bad. They're not going to give a first round pick for a backup quarterback that had two great games. They have Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. They're not going to do that. They're not going to play that game again. I cannot imagine. I mean, they could trade for him. They could trade for Jarrett Stidham. I'm not saying that that's out of the question. They wouldn't give much for him. They could trade just so that they get him as a backup. But is Jarrett, would the Broncos do that? If he plays that well, teams that are going to need that teams that are in need of a starting quarterback are going to take a look and see what they can give. And the Broncos would have to pick up the phone. 20 minutes after the hour. Coming up here at the bottom, we'll talk to Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan. Colorado State coming off a nice win against Air Force, a needed win. It wasn't a surprise that they won that game, but now big test coming up against Utah State on Friday night. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
I can't imagine that the vibe in that locker room is anything other than we think we can run it back out there with Jarrett Stidham. We can do this. And then that's not because they don't love and they don't believe, they don't, you know, admire and view Bo Nix as their leader. But again, it's not like it's been an overwhelming offensive output. I think the belief in that locker room is, hey, we still have the best, we believe we have the best defense in the league. We have arguably the best offensive line in some fashion at protecting the quarterback, which that will certainly be tested. Keeler mentioned that yesterday. You might see more sacks than you're used to. Bo Nix did not take sacks. He was very good at that. You might see some of that, but this offensive line has been very good. Run block, you could argue it's them or it's the rushing attack. What it's the actual running backs. They still believe they have a lot of young, speedy receivers that can make plays. I can't. I mean, this is if the Bills would have won, and it was Josh Allen that we find out about a mystery injury there that nobody really saw, but there it is. What would you say about the Bills? If the Bills would have won, and it was Josh Allen that's down, what would you say about the Bills and their chances against the Patriots?
You'd go, ooh,
no way, right? No way. There's no way. Same would be said for the Patriots. If Drake May went down, he's had an MVP-type season.
A lot of people are saying that about the Broncos, but they don't have a solid backup.
Sam Darnold for the Seahawks, who's the year he's had.
If he had a good year.
If he went down.
They'd have Drew Lock.
Yeah, I like Drew Lock.
Drew Lock has had
and
some
they still,
success starting.
They're still a really good team, but yeah. Matt Stafford goes down for the Rams. You'd be saying, ugh.
Who's starting for them after that?
You're in trouble. You'd be in trouble. That's why, hey, you're catching it now. Because at some point, I believe this offense is going to, everything is going, I mean, it already kind of does, but everything is going to be about Bo. You know, he's in his rookie contract still. He's not arrived yet. But for backups for these other teams, like it's Jimmy Garoppolo for Matt Stafford, Mike. And for the Patriots, it's it's Dobbs. It's Joshua Dobbs as their backup for the Pats.
He's very smart.
Because why? Because he went to where'd he go?
Yeah, like a rocket scientist or something.
Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah,
is that the
he
one that's a rocket
stuff.
Scientist? Maybe. And then, yeah, for the Seahawks, it's Drew Lock. There's no doubt that Jarrett Stidham's the best of those backup quarterbacks, right? I mean, he's better than. Would you take Jarrett Stidham over Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes.
Garoppolo has a lot more experience and was a starter at one point. Kind of decent. Would you take Stidham over Jimmy Garoppolo today?
I would.
You take him over Drew Lock?
Yes.
Yeah. Even though I like Drew. You take him over Dobbs?
I would. And he does have a 4.0 GPA in aerospace engineering at the University of Tennessee.
There you go. Isai Chris says, Sutton walks into a bar. Michael rides his donkey with him. Bartender asks for their selection. He looks over to Michael and says, why the long face? Look what you've done. You've done this. How do you feel?
You're the one that made it a big deal.
What?
You made it a big deal.
Made what a big deal?
I was implying that they would be like
I didn't know what you were
like,
talking about. You were going off into random Star Trek 9 universe. I don't know what you were doing. I was like, hey, if Jared Stidham really plays well, could there be a conversation? Well, you know, him and Cortland Sutton are going to a bar and now they're hanging out. Like, what? That was your response. I don't know. That's why. I didn't make it a big deal. You made it a weird deal. You made it a weird deal. And
you,
I made it a big deal that you made it a weird deal.
You didn't understand it.
No, I didn't understand.
The Hooligans need to change their name to the Mikeigans.
No one wants to be a Mikeigan. No one wants to be that. Because that means Star Trek Fridays and Dungeons & Dragons Saturdays and Lego Sundays. That's what that means.
We'll start calling them the Trekkies.
No. No one wants to be called that. No one wants to be called that. 30 minutes after the hour.
That.
Hey, you are called that. And a lot worse. Kevin Lytle going to join us on the program here. He just got into the station, so he'll pop on with us in just a moment. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock today. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Kevin Lytle joining me in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Nice to talk about the Rams with a nice win over Air Force, I suppose was kind of expected, especially given everything that's going on with Air Force. But, you know, this has been one of those seasons where when you expect something to happen, maybe it doesn't. And then when you don't, it does. And up is down. Grand Canyon's decent right now. And the Rams whooped up on them. But getting guys back slowly but surely seems to be helping Colorado State.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so it's funny, I asked Alif Rokmanesh after the Air Force game, you know, CSU's played 19 games, it's late January, but I asked him, you know, is there a sense a little bit of you don't really know what this team can become because they haven't been whole? And he basically is like, yeah, you know, the guys know now's the time to go, get going. But, you know, having Bimba and Jorgensen together like they were Tuesday against Air Force, that was the plan. In October, you know, before season started, that was the plan. And then it's never happened because first Bimba was hurt for quite a while. And then, you know, he came back super briefly, but went back out injured. And then kind of as he was starting to get closer to coming back, Jorgensen went out. So they'd never really been able to do it until now. So this is the first time we're seeing kind of the planned CSU team. So I think it's probably fair to be like, I don't really know. I've been saying this even through sort of the downstretch that I thought this team would turn around and do some good stuff. And I still think that, you know, they looked really good Tuesday. You have to qualify it with Air Force is horrendous. But you can, you know, the eye test and the stats match up. CSU is in games, Jorgensen plays his full minutes. So there's kind of the two that I've taken out of this. The Utah State game where he got hurt 4 minutes in. And then the Boise game where he came back but came off the bench, played like 13 minutes or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. If you take those out, the games he's played, you know, kind of a normal allotment of minutes, CSU's 9-2.
I mean, we talked about this too when Jorgensen first went down. Like, how tough is that going to be? Because he was having a really good season, and you know,
and he was, you know, a first team all conference type player until he went down. So when you bring that back and then bring, you know, or I guess put alongside it the Bimba element, which we all know Bimba, you can't really analyze with stats. He's never gonna have a single stat that blows you away. He's probably not going to lead the team in anything. I guess maybe could get to it in rebounds. But it's a physicality. It's a knowledge of the system. Defensive versatility. He can guard different types of bigs, even though he's, you know, not that tall. 6'7".
Yeah, there it is, Mike.
But those two together are a unique element that we just haven't seen, so we don't know what it's going to be, but you can see how it could work really well.
Do they – you continue to start those two guys?
Yeah, so I fully expect that. That was the plan in October, but it never – again, it never happened because Bimba stepped on Joppa's ankle – or, you know, stepped on his foot. His ankle rolled right before the season began, and Bimba, you know, wasn't available at the start, so you never got this possibility. But yeah, this was the plan, so I think back to it. And now we're also going to see, you know, there's been a lot of talk of depth, but that kind of gets thrown out when you have key guys out. But now, theoretically, the second unit should be better. They moved Jevon Muniz to that. And Ali said that's kind of to help him be the facilitator there to make that unit, you know, basically more functional, you know, with more scoring ability. And then, obviously, Booth can do some good things. So we'll see if it has a double impact of, you know, overall the group is better, but you have a better second unit now that you're healthy.
Do you see kind of more staggering, too, between Jorgensen and Bimba?
That's what's going to be interesting. Yeah, I could totally see matchup dependent, you know, what type of team you're playing, what type of defenses they play, and just game flow. You know, if it's whatever, a team's, you know, sagging everything in the paint and, you know, having CSU shoot threes, which would be dumb defense against this team. But, you know, more Jorgensen, you know, if you got a really big physical team, you know, think like a Grand Canyon, you're going to need a lot of Bimba, although he wasn't available when CSU played Grand Canyon. They beat him, so maybe that was a bad example. But you get the point. Different matchups, you know, like San Diego State, you're going to need a lot of Bimba because that is a freaking battle every time. Whereas, whatever, certain other games, you know, kind of spreading defenses out with more, you know, kind of Jorgensen and maybe Booth could be the option.
Yeah, and obviously, as you mentioned, you see Muniz and Booth going to the bench, coming off, you know, getting a chance to see what Kerry Booth can do coming off the bench. Kerry Booth has had an interesting year. I mean, there's moments, Kevin, where you look at him and go, wow, that's the dude. You know, that guy can be really freaking good. And then I think it's fair to say there are moments where it's just, I mean, I think even against Air Force, he made a great move to get to the rim. He goes up for the shot, for the layup, and it just, like, it actually was an inch away from the rim. It's like, man, there's a, you know, $50 move and a 2 cent finish. But he can be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of maybe bringing him off the bench. Might be something interesting to see how that impacts.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, that can ease pressure on players sometimes that you don't feel as much pressure to, you know, score in some ways. Obviously, it can impact who you're playing, too. Like, you're going to play other teams' benches a lot of times, which, depending on who you're facing, could mean, you know, quote-unquote, more vulnerable opponents. Because, yeah, Kerry Booth is one of those guys that you don't have to know a lot about the game to watch and see his ability. He's one of those tantalizing players, and you see it sometimes. But he's also just – he's not that take-over-a-game force right now. And I think that's okay. I think people need to understand that, too. If you're walking into Moby Arena expecting Kerry Booth to put up Neat Clifford numbers of last year, that is not what that guy is right now. Maybe he'll become it in the future, but that is not what he is right now. And that's not what CSU expects him to be or plans for him to be either. So I'm going to be really interested to see how this bench role goes for him.
How about a guy like Nicola Joppa? You know, he obviously didn't play against Air Force, or maybe he did for a second.
Maybe a little bit at the end. But yeah, he's a guy.
He's going to fight.
He'll probably be most impacted by Bimba and Jorgensen returning. I mean, you know, they're bigs coming back, and you've already seen kind of how he's viewed in the pecking order because I referenced that Grand Canyon game earlier. Bimba was out, Jorgensen was out, and, you know, in that little stretch there when both were out, it's like, oh gosh, you know, who do you even play at center? And they moved Augie Kidulis to center, even though that's not his position. He's way undersized for that. He's, you know, 6'8", which, again, you know, Bimba's in that range too, but he's just a different player.
Different body type.
So the fact that Joppa didn't get a look in there tells you a lot. He was playing off the bench, but now those two come back. there will be a couple games where Joppa will be needed, whether it's foul trouble or, again, just matchups. You need some extra size and physicality. But, yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that now is a, whatever, number 10 on the bench who it's not a surprise if he doesn't play in a game. Or if he does, it might be 4 minutes.
That last time out against Air Force, we got to see a lot more of JoJo McIver, too.
Yeah.
You and I are both really high on him, and it's been, hey, what to expect. I mean, I even look back at Kyan Evans in his first year. It was, you know, he was just kind of a placeholder for Isaiah Stevens. JoJo's certainly ahead of that, maybe. I don't know if he becomes a player like Kyan Evans, but it was really nice to see because he had some real nice plays against Air Force.
Yeah, definitely. You know, everyone got ruined in a way by Isaiah Stevens, what he was able to do as a freshman. Like, that was not normal. Freshmen aren't supposed to be able to do what Isaiah Stevens did.
No.
JoJo, yeah, I think he started the season pretty well, kind of hit a wall a bit. The Air Force game was quite good. Again, caveat, Air Force is terrible. But all the things he did are things that he can do, and you hope he can do. He's a great defender, really good perimeter defender. He can get in there and steal. And then what I liked offensively, he just seemed decisive, whether it's attacking the rim or even quick passes. He had one, I forget who's down to, maybe Augie Kidulis perhaps, where he kind of got himself just inside the arc, saw the pass, gave the defender a quick look off, and then a little bounce pass in for an easy layup. Like, he's got the basketball savvy. I've heard from a lot of people who have been around him in the program since summer saying, you know, watch out, this, you know, this kid's the real deal. So you kind of hope now he's, you know, sort of hit the wall and now rebuilding that confidence and trust. And that's what Ali said after game of, you know, freshmen sometimes go through that where they lose a little bit of the trust in their game because it's just a whole nother level up. Yeah. And, you know, you get exposed in ways you didn't know you were even vulnerable. And then you learn from it. I think the hope is that JoJo is kind of in that phase now, the regrowing.
You know, where my brain works in mysterious ways, Kevin. So I'm
Indeed.
Watching him, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the guy. Oh, he's going to start doing really well. Oh, are they going to be able to keep? Yeah, I go that far.
I mean,
yeah.
that's the state
that's
of.
I watch games now.
I mean, that's the stage of college athletics. I mean, shoot, I think one of the first comments or conversations I had with someone, I can't even remember if it was a fan or someone in athletics at CSU, when Jorgensen went down, the question was raised of like, hey, does that help CSU keep him down the road? Because maybe, you know, there's less proof of how good he is. I said, no, I think he's done enough. And now, especially that he came back pretty quickly. That's part of the college athletics conversation. But also, I was talking to a coach earlier this season. And yes, that's a reality. Coaches are thinking of it, too. They're aware. But it's also, you'd rather have good players that teams want to poach than a bunch of bad players that you're trying to figure out how to replace.
It just sucks the way my brain watches.
No, it's true. I mean, that's how college athletics is right now.
Yeah. Okay, what do you know about Air Force? What do you know about Joe Scott?
Yeah, so he, interesting situation, timing, couple hours before they played Nevada, which is the game before CSU, so on last weekend, Air Force announced suspension pending an investigation into treatment of cadet athletes, as they call it. Obviously, they're not saying more. I know Joe Scott released a statement to the Colorado Springs Gazette. I don't have it from me, but it's basically, I'm cooperating, looking forward to having this resolved or whatever. He didn't say a whole lot. Haven't seen much, haven't heard much. Obviously, CSU has had some of these between Steve Adazio and Larry Stacey. Without knowing exact details, it feels hard to come back from. When you get to the place where the program is suspending a coach, it's hard to come back from that. This is maybe not how it should be, but you can also look at the record and be like, why would there be a big fight to
not sure.
reinstate him? Although a lot of the record, I think you don't necessarily have blame for him because of, again, the state of college athletics. It's hard for Air Force in particular right now. But yeah, I don't know a whole lot of detail. He's an interesting coach to watch. I mean, if you've ever watched him in games, he is loud and seems angry, but that also doesn't necessarily mean anything internally. So yeah, going to be very interesting to watch that one. Again, without knowing details, I'll be a little surprised to see him back. But man, rough year for Air Force. They're lacking in talent, and then you throw this on top, just really hard.
Well, and you, I mean, you think about Air Force and the people that are higher up over there probably are hard on these guys and gals, right?
Yeah, I mean, no one's ever said, you know, it's really easy to go through the Air Force Academy.
So when you see this, you go, wow, how bad can it, you know,
it's definitely, I think, natural to kind of have that question wonder. So going to be very fascinating. I'm sure, you know, I know some of the reporters down there, I'm sure they're working hard on figuring out more details, but interesting times.
Yeah, no question about it. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll get to what did we learn on today's edition of The Hull Show. Also, Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock here today. Keep it here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Will the defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 22nd day of January? We learned that, again, maybe with this Broncos team coming up on Sunday, the quarterback thing isn't going to be that big of a drop-off this year. In 3 years, I think we're talking, oh, man, Bo Nix goes down. That's like the equivalent of Josh Allen. We'll see. Kevin Lytle, did you learn anything today?
I need a coat this weekend. Yeah.
It's going to be cold?
Yep. I'm going to need my coat leaving Moby Arena at like midnight tomorrow night after the basketball game.
And maybe we can think the Rams could pull something off tomorrow.
Yeah. Doable.
Doable. Doable. Michael, I ask, did you learn anything today?
I did. I learned that when the conversation's a little stale, I bring it up.
I really like Micah.
I mean, the hooligans or the Micahans, they really like my level of conversation.
We're not creating that. Not doing it.
Micahan.
No. Kevin, I fired him on the air last week. He's still here.
It's literally like a Milton situation.
He just keeps showing up. Do you know anybody? Like, anybody.
I know multiple people. I've met multiple people in my life.
Do stuff that back there is doing? Anybody? Come on.
I could use an intern.
I'll call some people.
There's got to be somebody you ran across and you're like, man, they're not very bright. They could do it.
I'll call
this.
Some people.
Yeah. I got my best minds on it now, Michael. You're screwed.
I'm not on it.
Your days are numbered, buddy.
I am your best mind.
Oh, if that's the way my life is gone, Kevin, I don't know, man.
I don't know if I'm much help. I did walk into the studio, immediately start breaking things today.
That's true. So. Yeah, you did. You were a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Broncos on Sunday? Do they win?
Heart, yes. Brain, no.
We're tomorrow's a big day, Mike. Tomorrow's a big day. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Wait, picks are on Friday?
Picks are on Friday,
Kevin.
Oh, okay.
They're not on Thursday.
You're starting to know it. I have a t-shirt with that now. Mm. Would you like one?
Oh, yeah. Dang, swag bag.
Yeah. Well, my wife just got me one, but I was like, could we do more? So I think we could make millions off of that.
Probably.
Probably millions.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. But Michael, you in on this?
I'm in on it. Okay. Can I get one in orange and blue?
No, you cannot. You will get it in the color that I get it in, which is gray right now. Bulk order kind of thing. Saves money.
I thought you'd get it in like light blue, like baby powder blue and yellow.
Like old Nuggets? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, we could do that. Maybe we could. All right. Rams Weekly presented by Miranda Simpson, State Farm Insurance. That's coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.
We ran out of music.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.